good to see everyone here this morning. We've been studying the Holy Spirit. We had some time on indwelling the Holy Spirit. We finished it up. I had a couple more slides I was going to show, but they were just further documentation of what we talked about. So in thinking about time and going on through this, I wanted to just start with today with led by the Spirit. Now, this is one of the things that's always an interesting thing. People who believe in indwelling the Holy Spirit, sometimes, especially if they believe in a miraculous indwelling the Holy Spirit, sometimes they believe that the Spirit leads them. And this can mean a lot of things. It can mean that they have a feeling that they suppose is given to them by the Spirit to direct their lives. It means that they have had visions that... It could mean that they had visions that they thought was a direct revelation from God, that they think is from the Holy Spirit that gives them specific directions on what to do or what to say in certain situations. And some even claim that God speaks directly to them in an audible way. I was watching a show on YouTube the other day, and a guy was saying that the Holy Spirit talked to him directly and told him that they were going to do some kind of motorcycle rally with their church, and the ministers or the pastors had called it off, but this guy said that the Holy Spirit talked to him directly and told him to do it anyway. I don't know what all it was about. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it, but that particular comment was an interesting comment. And some even claim that God speaks directly to them in audible ways where they hear him speak. And this is some of the things that happens when somebody says that they're led by the Spirit. And we know that Jesus was led by the Spirit. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This is right after he was baptized. He was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit for the express purpose of being tempted by the devil in this particular passage. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungered. And then we know after his 40 day and 40 night fast, the devil, Satan appeared to him and tempted him in three ways. We all remember that story. But if you don't, take a look at Matthew chapter 4, and it's contained in there as well as other places in the Bible, and it's a parallel passage is Luke chapter 4, beginning verse 1. So Jesus definitely was led by the Spirit, and there's no doubt about it that Jesus was led by the Spirit. The Bible tells us this. We also understand that the early Christians were assisted by the Holy Spirit in ways that don't apply to us today. And that's something that we need to make sure that we understand, that at one time the Holy Spirit and God dealt with people in ways that don't, they do not apply to us today. And it's clear that these things don't apply to us today. Philip was directed by the Spirit to catch a chariot which the eunuch was riding in. How many of us today would say that the Spirit tells us to do that? To go over to Israel and go to that road between Israel and Ethiopia and catch a chariot. Nobody would say that was written for us today, but this was written for Philip, and Philip was directed to do that, and he did it, and we know what happened. In Acts chapter 8, we hear this story, and the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to the chariot. After he'd gotten over to the road between Jerusalem and Ethiopia. And then also the end of that story, in chapter eight, is that the Spirit took Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him anymore. And it doesn't say how the Spirit took him away, but it said Philip found himself in another city. So we don't know exactly how the Spirit did that, but we know the Spirit had something to do with it. Well, the Spirit told him to go to that other city, like he told him to go and join himself to the chariot on the road between Jerusalem and Ethiopia. The Luke doesn't tell us in Acts, but we know that happened. We know that the Spirit talked directly to Peter after his vision of a sheep filled with unclean animals. In Acts chapter 10, that's the story of that. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men seek thee. So we know that the Spirit talked directly to Philip. The Spirit talked directly to Peter. But neither one of those situations apply to us today. We're not told. We can't take that and say that each one of us have to go to over to Israel and go to the road between Jerusalem and Ethiopia and find a chariot and talk to a person that's in that chariot. And it would be difficult because people don't ride chariots anymore. So that we know that's not directly speaking to us. And we also know that the Spirit's conversation with Peter, when Peter told him three men were seeking him, that doesn't apply to us today either. We can understand that. So we see that while the Spirit did speak directly and lead directly, people in the first century, the examples that are given don't apply to us today. They can't apply to us today. Some disciples were directed by the Spirit to tell Paul not to go to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 21 and 4, it says, "In finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." We talked about this earlier, about the indwelling of the Spirit. When we're talking about the indwelling of the Spirit in the last lesson. But these people, through the Spirit, who were led by the Spirit to tell Paul that he should not go to Jerusalem. And then we know that Agabus, a prophet, came in and got Paul's belt and tied himself up and said, "The man whose belt this is going to be tied up this way in Jerusalem if you go to Jerusalem." So we know that the Spirit talked to these people and talked to Paul through these people, and they were led by the Spirit directly to tell Paul not to go to that he shouldn't go to Jerusalem. It's clear from these passages that the Spirit was active in directing early Christians and that Paul expected those in Rome and Galatia to be led by the Spirit. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later. And see how they're led by the Spirit. But if we go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 and Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18, that's where these particular two places are, where Paul says the Spirit the early Christians were being directed by the Spirit, or being led by the Spirit. But the question that we have is this still the role of the Spirit today? Does the Spirit still lead us today? And if so, how does He do that? And that's the question we need to ask, and we need to try to ask and try to answer in this particular section of our study on the Holy Spirit. Does the Spirit do the same thing for us today as He did for those in the first century? Does He deal with us the same way that He dealt with Jesus when He directly led Jesus up into the wilderness? Does He deal with us the same way that He dealt with Philip and telling Philip to attach himself to the chariot? Those are the things that we need to discuss and figure out exactly what role He does, what role the Spirit has today, and how does He fill that role? And this is the thing we're going to be talking about. It's a biblical concept that we need to understand. There's a lot of people today in the religious world that claim to be led by the Spirit. And when they do that, most of the time, they divert from what we read in the New Testament. They're being led in a way directly opposite, in some cases, what we read in the New Testament. But this is some of the things that we need to understand. We're told by Paul that we're to be led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, I spoke about this just a minute ago. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, Paul says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So this is something we need to keep in mind. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we understand. How about Ben going to John 1 and read 10 through 13 for me? And let's see. Scott, can you pick up Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15 and get Eric, if he will, to pick up 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 2. Okay, go ahead, Ben.
10 through 13.
John 1, 10 through 13.
"He was made in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Okay, so John says we're the sons of God. And Paul says for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So when Paul talking to the Roman Christians, or John was talking to in his gospel, we have the right to become sons of God, and that's what we are. How about picking up Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15.
So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe.
Okay, here Paul is talking directly to the Philippian Christians and tells them they're sons of God. How about what does 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 through 2 tell us, Eric?
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Okay. So all three of those passages teach us that Christians are the sons of God. The last two in particular tell us that Paul and John are clear that we're the sons of God. And so if Paul's right in Romans, if we take Romans to be inspired, and that particular thing says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So therefore, if you're the sons of God, you're led by the Spirit. So then the question is, how are we led? If we're the sons of God today, then we must be led by the Spirit. But the question remains is how are we led by the Spirit? Let me see if I can get this to change on me. Okay. Let's see. There. First, we have to understand what being led by the Spirit does not and cannot mean. What does it not mean, and it cannot mean today? As we said earlier, the early Christians were led directly by the Spirit in the ways that were not. Philip was led to go join the chariot. Peter was told that three people was waiting for him. And that's not all he was told. He was told to go with them and don't ask questions, basically. So we know that that the early Christians were led. And this is evident by a close look at the passages used by those religious people who contend today that the Holy Spirit influences us as he did our early brothers. We can take a look at those passages, and we will take a look at those passages that they used, that Calvinists or especially the Pentecostals and those groups used to say that we're led by the Spirit today in a direct way. And we're going to take a look at those things. And John chapter 16, verses 12 through 13 is one of the things that they say, that they use. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. A lot of people today hold this and say, look, this is here. We're told directly that the Spirit is going to guide us. He's going to guide us in things that God wants us to know. There was a time that in our early Christian lives that we weren't able to bear what God wanted us to know. But now then the Spirit's going to guide us. He'll guide us in all truth. And he's not going to speak of these things himself. It's not something that the Spirit makes up, but it's what... But it's what God wants us to know. And he says, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Many people use this statement by Jesus and say, therefore, being led by the Spirit today is applicable to us. But does it actually say that? I mean, is this actually what the Bible is telling us? Let's take a look at this. It's obvious that Jesus made this statement. We can't deny it. John, he says, he made that statement in John chapter 16, verses 12 to 13. So we can't deny that he made it. But is that something for us today? It's also obvious that Jesus made statements that have no application for us today. In John chapter 11, verse 39, that's the story of Lazarus. Not Lazarus and the rich man, but Lazarus, the person who was brother to Mary and Martha, that Jesus visited a lot, and he died. And Jesus said, take away the stone. So do we need to go to graveyards and remove the door to the crypts of those people that are buried up above ground in crypts? Or do we need to dig them back up because Jesus said, take away the stone? Of course not. We know that he was talking to the people there at Lazarus' grave, and that was limited. Also, in Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 29, telling Peter to come to him on the water. Now, I think I mentioned this last time. We were talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. That, you know, if I was out with hands in his boat, there's no way in the world I'm going to say Jesus tells me to walk on the water and get out in the ocean where it's 1,000 feet deep and try to walk on the water. We know these things aren't given to us today. It's clear that some things in the Bible aren't for us today. And we have to use proper exegesis to make sure that we understand what's proper to us today and what's not proper to us today. And because we do misunderstand it and we don't use it properly, we have a lot of people that are in trouble with this. It's evident from these two examples that some of Jesus' statements were not made to a specific audience, and that audience was there with him at the time and have no direct implication to us today beyond giving us a better understanding of Jesus and his mission. We can read, when we read that story of Peter and walking on water, what is it that we get out of that story? What's important to get out of the story, Tom?
To have faith in Jesus.
To have faith in Jesus. As long as Peter had Jesus focused in his vision, what happened?
He was good.
He was walking on water. But when he started noticing what was around him and taking his eyes off of Jesus is when he sunk and started to sink in the water. And Jesus told him he didn't have enough faith. So we see that the message in that is not to walk on water, but the message is that we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and focused on the mission that Jesus has for us and not on what's around us. Because when we start looking at things around us, we can get awfully distracted. We look at the world around us and we see what's going on and we say, well, nobody wants to hear the gospel message. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus and start and our mind on the message, on the mission he's given us, we're gonna be able to go out and talk to people, and we're gonna be able to convert people. Now, are we gonna convert everybody we talk to? Are we? Of course not. Peter didn't even do that. And Paul didn't even do that. We know Paul didn't do it because we know the story of Agrippa and I can't think right now the Roman person that was with him. But we know the story that one of them told him that he almost persuaded him to be a Christian. But he didn't. We don't know that he wasn't persuaded that day to be a Christian. We don't know anything that he ever did. So we know that as long as the story of Peter and the walking on water was given to us specifically as a lesson to teach on faith. Now, the story of Lazarus and Jesus raising from the grave, what message do we get out of that? Do we need to go try to raise people from the grave today because Jesus did it? No, we don't have that. We don't have that power anymore. But Jesus had that power. So what was the message that Luke, why was it that the gospel writers included that particular story in the gospels? What lesson do we get out of that today? That's a simple lesson. The simple lesson is that Jesus had the power over death. And that's what we need to get out of this. Jesus had the power over death, and because he had power over death, we can be absolutely certain that he's going to come back, and when he comes back, he's going to raise those of us that are asleep. This is what Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I don't want you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those that are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Paul goes on to say that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then those that are asleep, whenever Jesus comes, are going to be raised, and the rest of us who are alive and remain are going to meet them in the air, and there will be forever with Jesus and those that have gone on before. And so we know that Jesus had power over death, and he demonstrated that clearly in this story about Lazarus. So that's why those stories were there. So we need to understand this. The John chapter 16, verses 12 through 13 fit in this category, are directed to a wider audience and the general disciple today. And this is the thing that we need to keep in mind about John chapter 16 in verses 12 through 13. Read that again. I think, did you have that? Ben, who had John? Philip, can you read John chapter 16, verses 12 through 13 for me?
I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come.
All right. So this is a passage that the people use today to say that the Holy Spirit directly talks to us. But does it fit into the category of those conversations that Jesus had with Peter, and that the Holy Spirit had with Peter and the Holy Spirit had with Philip, that don't apply to us today? Or is it something that we need to take into our mind, into our life today? And if so, how? How do we do this? So these are the things that we need to discuss. First, this passage is a record that we need to understand in John chapter 16. Once again, when we study the Bible, we have to study the context. We can't take one or two verses out and let them stand on their own and not look at the context of what they were saying. Even when we're talking about the Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, which is a verse we use a lot about repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you receive for the remission of sins, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can't use that verse by itself. We need to look at what's happening around us. There was a sermon preached. Jesus had died. Jesus had been crucified, and he'd been resurrected, and Peter saw him. And he started, and Peter and the other apostles were in the upper room. The Holy Ghost came on them. They started speaking in tongues, other languages. And the Bible tells us what other languages they spoke in. It doesn't just say miscellaneous tongues. It tells us what languages they spoke in, about 11 or 12 different languages. And then Peter preached a sermon, and the people asked him what should they do, and then Peter's answer was repent, be baptized. So we can't even use that particular verse out of context. We need to keep it in context. And so the point is that this passage is a record of a series of statements that Jesus made while at supper with the apostles. John chapter 13 verses 1 through 2 is where this whole thing begins, I think. But Jesus started this conversation, and he continued this conversation with his apostles throughout this chapter. And second, the audience of this conversation was promised that the Spirit would cause them to remember all the things that Jesus said to them. In John chapter 14 verse 26, how about Tom reading John chapter 14 and verse 26 for me?
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I said to you.
Okay, so the point is that the Comforter, the Helper, the Comforter, will tell us all the things that Jesus told the people. And he says, and the Helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to you in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. So the point that I'm trying to make is that Jesus' comment here was specifically to those apostles he was eating with. Because he says the Comforter is going to remind you of all the things that I said to you. And since we weren't there during Jesus' personal ministry, we don't have a memory of the things of his teaching for the Spirit to remind us of. Now, we can say, well, we got it through the Word, but we're told also that Jesus did many things that weren't written here. And the Holy Spirit was one of his missions in coming to the apostles was to remind them of all the things that Jesus taught them. Now, those of us that have been through college or been even in high school, whenever I was in my first couple of years in college, I didn't remember the things in my fifth year of college that I did that I studied in the first year. And this is not uncommon to humans. I suspect Scott had that same thing in medical school, that some of the things that you talked about in the first year or two of medical school, you didn't remember toward the end. And this is common with humans. And Paul and Jesus said, the Spirit, one of the Spirit's duties is going to remind you of the things that I spoke to you about. There's going to be a miraculous memory given to them. And then he's going to teach him more things that they weren't ready to learn whenever he was with them. And what was one of the things that they weren't ready to learn that we can point out directly? What was one of the things they weren't ready for when Jesus was with them?
About how he was going to be crucified?
Yeah, exactly. How he was going to be crucified. They thought up to the very end that he was going to be an earthly kingdom. But they weren't ready for that. But and even after Jesus was crucified and sent into heaven, they didn't fully understand that. And so I think the mission of the Spirit was to teach them those things that they weren't ready to learn when Jesus was with them. And that's one of his missions there. So we see that the Spirit had a specific mission. Third, Jesus made it clear that those to whom the Holy Spirit was to come in this degree were to bear witness of Jesus because they were with him from the beginning. John chapter 15, verses 26 through 27. Let's see. Paul, can you pick that up for me? John 15, 26 through 27.
But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he will testify of me. You will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning.
Okay, so he's talking to people who have been with him from the very beginning. And it's apparent from this one statement that we can't be the audience that Jesus talked to, was telling us to. It's impossible for us to be there unless we find somebody that's over 2,000 years old. So Jesus wasn't talking to us at this particular time. It was those people who were with him from the beginning. And in fact, this statement is even restricted further. In John chapter 14, verses 26, where Jesus said, "I'm going to teach him. The Spirit's going to teach him all things." Jesus hadn't taught him everything that they needed to learn. In John chapter 16 and verse 12, Jesus said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." There were things that he needed to tell them, but they weren't ready for it. Their faith wasn't ready for it. They weren't mentally ready to accept it. They weren't emotionally ready to accept it. And Jesus said, there's a lot of things I need to say to you, but you can't bear it now. And they were to learn these things directly from the Spirit. John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14, as we already read, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and will show it unto you." So this is what the Spirit was going to do. He's going to teach them, bring them to all truth. He's going to remind them of what Jesus said, and he's going to guide them to all truth. But he's not going to speak of himself. The Spirit is not going to guide somebody differently than what Jesus wanted them guided and what God wanted them to know. It's not going to be something different. And that's a critical thing for us to remember today. Whatever the Spirit teaches is not different than what Jesus taught, and it's not different than what God taught teaches us. It's not something that the Spirit is making up on his own. Fifth, the Spirit would declare to them the things that were to come. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, he says the Spirit's going to declare to you the things that are to come. And this is what the Spirit did. Remember those disciples that tried to warn Paul about going back into Jerusalem? The Spirit was telling them what was going to happen to Paul when he went there. And they tried to tell him not to go there. Agabus was guided by the Spirit to tell Paul that the owner of this belt's going to be tied up like I'm tied up now. So the things that were to come, this is what the Spirit is going to be talking about. Who today can claim that the Spirit gives them direct information about future events? You know, do we all remember back in the 80s when, I can't think of the preacher's name now, said that if he doesn't raise $8 million for his Oral Roberts, if I don't raise $8 million, Jesus said I'm going to die, you know? That's not what the Spirit does today. Nobody can claim to know future events today. Now, can we reason what future events are going to be? Can we use reasoning to determine what future events might be? Paul, what do you think about that?
Well, we can predict, but we can't see.
Yeah, there's some things that we do know from what the Spirit has told us. We know that if a person is not a Christian, when judgment comes, what's going to happen? They're not going to go to heaven. We can know that because that's what the Spirit has told us through the Bible. But we can also reason certain things out. If you read the bulletin and article today, Tom's sermon was on, I think, and Phil, and I had opportunities to work with meteorologists on fires. I didn't work with them, but I got to see how they did their stuff. But all the computers they had and all the science they had, when it came right down to it, when I asked them what was the weather going to be tomorrow, and the answer was, well, I think it's going to be this. You know, they could use all the reasoning they wanted to do, but they still could not forecast accurately what tomorrow's weather was going to be. How many times have we seen that here in Alaska where forecasts are completely wrong? Even with the stuff we have today, we can't do this. We can't claim that the Spirit gives us direct information about future events today. But he did at that time. That was one of his jobs to do at that time. And so when we look at John chapter 16, verses 12 through 13, these are the things we need to keep in mind. When people try to use this and tell us that this is where they know that the Holy Spirit's guiding them today. In John chapter 16, Jesus was specifically speaking to those who were present with him at the supper in Jerusalem. There was 12 people there with him at that supper in Jerusalem. He was specifically speaking to them. Jesus promised them that the Spirit would remind them of the things that Jesus personally taught them. So, go ahead, Paul.
I think another important point is he's speaking specifically to them, and he tells them they're going to receive all of it, not some of
it. That's right.
That's
the point. That's a well-made point. There's no new truth. They were given all the truth. It was completed with those men. They were given all truth. Jesus promised the Spirit would remind him of all the things that Jesus personally taught him. Those to whom this promise were made were with Jesus from the very beginning. And that's important. We know that whenever Judas was eliminated from the 12, and they decided to choose another person to make the group of 12 apostles complete again. One of the things they said is the person that we choose has to be with us from the beginning, from the baptism of John, Jesus' baptism. So we understand that they had to be with him from the beginning. And Jesus said that the Spirit would teach those things to whom he was speaking all things. And this is the point that Paul made. Therefore, there's no new modern day revelation that we need or can expect to receive. There's just nothing today that the Spirit teaches us. They were given all things. The Spirit gave them all things, taught them all things. And then Jesus said that the Spirit would tell them of future events, and that's important. Do we know of one in particular where Jesus told somebody about future events, or the Holy Spirit told somebody about future events? What can we look at to know clearly that the Holy Spirit told about future events? Revelation, yeah. Revelation is teaching us about future events. And I've read Revelation a whole bunch of times. I don't know how many times I read the Revelation trying to figure out what he's teaching us. But the thing that I get back to it, Revelation can be summarized in just one sentence, and that's we've won. You know, Christians have won. Jesus has won. Satan is defeated. Death is defeated. And that's the message of Revelation. But Jesus said the Spirit's going to tell them of future events, and the Spirit did in Revelation. The Spirit told Paul of future events in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when he said that the dead are going to be raised from the grave and rise to meet Jesus in the air. That's a future event. So we know that that the Spirit told people at that time future events. From these five facts, it's clear that the degree of the Spirit that Jesus was promising to those hearing his comments in cannot apply to anyone today, unless that person was with Jesus from the beginning. If the person who says, I've got direct guidance from the Holy Spirit, the question we need to ask, were you with Jesus from the beginning? Were you there when Jesus was baptized by John, when the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove? Were you there? Did you hear God's message, God's statement? This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Were you there when that happened? Were you there when Jesus rolled out called Lazarus out of the grave? Were you there when he told Peter to walk on the water? So if a person tells us today that he has direct guidance from the Holy Spirit, this is the thing that we need to ask them. Were you there with Jesus from the beginning? Were you taught directly by Jesus so that the Spirit could remind you of those teachings that he taught you? Were you taught directly by the Spirit, by Jesus? And can you foretell future events with miraculous accuracy? These are things that we have to ask a person who says that they are led by the Spirit today. So if being led by the Spirit does not and cannot, in fact, mean that today we have direct inspiration of the Spirit that our early brothers and sisters has, what does it mean? And I think, Ed, did the second bell ring? We're going to stop here because next Sunday we're going to get into what this means today to be led by the Spirit. So thanks a lot for your attention and for some of the comments you made.